Tonight's shiur is a shiur that I planned on giving a while ago, and for whatever reason it didn't work out. So we're definitely not going to get through the whole thing tonight anyhow, but I wanted to take just different cases in Choshen Mishpat that seem like modern day cases and try to show how the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara really provides sources that really help us in dealing with monetary cases that seem to be uniquely modern. And the first case, they're all real cases. I just took them straight out of Tshuva Sfarim, as I did with many of the shurim that we've given in terms of the halacha. These stories are not made up. I made up the names. Most of them I took right out of Tshuva Sfarim. The first case, actually, I didn't take out of a Tshuva Sefer. I took out of something that happened to my family. I don't know if a Shaila was ever asked. I didn't follow through with my father to see what happened, but this happened about however long my sister's been married, I don't know, 12 years ago. I changed the name to protect the innocent, so she's Yael Lieberman instead of Leibowitz. So the story goes, Yael Lieberman is getting married. Of all the logistical issues need to be worked out before the wedding, one detail that seems to have been overlooked is transportation. With so many relatives visiting from out of town, Yael's parents have to figure out how to transport the entire family, including aunts and uncles visiting from Israel, with the wedding gown and the gowns of the other women in the family in a single Nissan Maxima and a Lexus SUV. I don't think it was a Lexus at the time. That might have been a little poetic license. There's no way they can make it in one trip. Ethan and Karen, whose name I forgot what their last name was, so I just went with Moskowitz, the Lieberman's non-religious but very friendly neighbors, offer to help by lending their van to the Liebermans for the wedding day. Mr. Lieberman is grateful for the offer and graciously accepts. All is working out as planned until on the way to the wedding hall, Mr. Lieberman, who's driving the van, temporarily loses control of the car and hits a highway guardrail. I don't remember who was actually driving, but whatever it was, this is Maisa Shahaya. Borrowed car, they're going to the wedding, and they hit a guardrail. Thank God everybody's okay, though Yael's wrist is slightly sprained, that was a true story also, and the car can still drive, but there is some significant damage. At the Chassan's Tish, Ethan comes over to wish Mazel Tov to Mr. Lieberman, who informs him of the accident. Ethan says, "Don't worry about it, it's your daughter's wedding, we'll work it all out later." The next day, Ethan brings the van to his mechanic and presents Mr. Lieberman with a $3,000 bill for the damages. Mr. Lieberman says that the car is insured and that he has no interest in paying if Ethan could just collect from an insurance company. Ethan refuses to make the claim because he's afraid his premiums will go up and therefore wants Mr. Lieberman to pay for the damages in full. So questions. Number one, can Ethan force Mr. Lieberman to pay for the damages in full? Number two, if he does pay, can Ethan still submit a claim to the insurance company? Mr. Lieberman is going to pay him back, and then Ethan will get a claim from the insurance company and get a few extra dollars also. Can he make money off the deal is, I guess, what we're asking. And number three, if Ethan does not ask Mr. Lieberman to pay and instead submits an insurance claim, can the insurance company sue Mr. Lieberman for the money? Because the insurance company didn't want to be insuring Mr. Lieberman. They wanted to be insuring Ethan. So do they have a taina on Mr. Lieberman? Now, legally, obviously, they don't. But we're talking from a halachic perspective. So what's the halacha in play over here, even? What's the discussion? The role that an insurance company plays and that an insured item has. So where do we have such a concept in halacha? So obviously there are several issues that have to be dealt with over here. First thing is, you have dinei nezikin, what's called a mazik, right? Am I damaging my next door neighbor when I borrow his car and I crash it up and it's insured? So what's called a mazik? Is that called that I was mazik his stuff, and does that create a chiyuv of a mazik? Or do I say no, that since he's not going to lose money directly as a result of my act of damage because he's gotten it insured and the insurance company is going to pay for his loss, so he's not losing anything, so I'm not a mazik. I just did something, but it wasn't hezek.
Yeah, but he's a shoyah, and he's chayav for everything.
He's chayav for everything, but that's only if he did damage. But I didn't do any damage because the insurance company is paying for it. I mean, the definition of damage is I cause you a loss. I didn't cause him any loss.
I think that you can have double damages. You can collect for both.
But again, if the definition of hezek is when I cause you a financial loss, I didn't cause you a financial loss. I just took the money out of your right pocket, put it in your left pocket. You're getting it from the insurance company. Your car's going to be back.
I don't remember exactly where I learned it, but in the Bava Metzia, there is an Indian involved of collecting from both places.
of collecting from two parties. Money. Yeah, but it's not with an insurance company. Right. I'm familiar with the sugya, but yeah, that's why it's a possibility over here.
Can't Mr. Lieberman put it through his insurance?
Is that the way it works with insurance?
I think that you can. I don't think it's any difference than, like, you go rent the car from Hertz, and you have a choice of taking their insurance or putting it under your own policy. I actually happen to have gotten into an accident a while back with a Hertz car, and I didn't get their insurance, and I had to go through my insurance.
So your own insurance will cover you driving someone else's car?
Yeah, it should go under property, like it goes under, like, your homeowner.
Oh, your homeowner's insurance.
I think.
No, it's but car insurance.
My car insurance knows that I drive a Hyundai, and therefore they're willing to charge me very little because the car's worth very little. But if I were to drive my neighbor's Mercedes, my insurance company probably doesn't want to cover that.
No, you're still
covered. Yeah, but let's say you hit a Mercedes.
Right. The insurance company does cover if I hit a Mercedes. That's true. To a point. Yeah, this Shaila, besides for being a practical case, was also, it was a Shaila, but the Shaila was in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe the laws are different there, because the assumption of the Shaila was, it's not?
Everything is different.
Everything is different, okay. But the Shaila assumed that it is the insurance company of the guy who owns the car that's insuring the car.
It still is, because I think in your policy it says if you lend it to somebody else, they cause damage to your car, that they will cover it.
Oh, they will cover it.
They will basically cover it.
It's incidental insurance.
Okay, so this is practical. This isn't
deductible.
Right. So both insurance companies will cover it.
It's required.
But I'm saying both insurance companies will cover it. Both the insurance company of Mr. Lieberman and the insurance company of Ethan.
Well, really, I mean, you know, if someone were to take full responsibility for an accident, you know, you don't even have to deal with your own insurance company. Like, recently my wife was in a minor fender bender, which caused a lot of damage to the whole side of the car. We didn't even call our insurance company.
That's fine, but over here they want to, because it's a $3,000. I mean, at least Mr. Lieberman wants to, because he doesn't want to pay $3,000.
Right, but Mr. Lieberman could call either his insurance company or, well, he has to call his insurance company. Mr. Lieberman's insurance company.
Right. You're assuming that his insurance company will cover it. I think Shaila was assuming his insurance company is not going to... Let's say he doesn't have a car, and he borrows a car because he doesn't own a car.
Okay, that's...
Right? He has a license, but he doesn't own a car.
He can ask him to pay maybe the additional hazard that it would cost him to pay.
So we have to talk about that also. So now Ethan's insurance is going to go up. Does Mr. Lieberman have to pay for Ethan's...
That might be so, but he should surely not have to pay for now, $3,000.
So there's another rule that we have to talk about, and that is something called Grumma Benazikin. Right, that nezikin is not only when you cost someone money, but if I indirectly cost somebody money, I may not have to pay. It's not a mitzvah. I'm not gonna, you know, it's not a good thing to be mazik somebody through grama in an indirect way. But there's no technical chiyuv tashlumin when you're mazik somebody in an indirect way, and that's a major discussion. How to define grama exactly is a major discussion in Rishonim. There's a Tosfos Maseches Basra and Daf Chaf Beis that discusses that. It's likely and almost definite that the insurance company's new rates that are going to charge Ethan more money is a grumma, that it's not direct damage, and that therefore Mr. Lieberman should be potter from that perspective. So again, let's reframe the case now that I know the Matzias a little better. Mr. Lieberman does not own a car, so he does not have car insurance. He has a license, though. So he borrowed his neighbor Ethan's car. Ethan does have car insurance. The only insurance company that's going to cover this, therefore, is Ethan's insurance company. Now, the issue is, when I damage something of yours that's insured, is that something that you can say, I know it's insured, but I insured it for when I damage it, not for when you damage it. If you damage it, I want you to pay me. Right? Do you have a right to say something like that? So the Or Sameach has a phenomenal chiddush relating to insurance that a lot of people don't like. But let's take a look at the Chiddush first. Take a look at the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach writes, Nish'alti. I was asked the following shayla. Be'echad shesachar bayis mechavero, v'kibel alav achrayis midaleka. One guy rents a house from his friend, and there's fire insurance on it. Va'achar kach holach hamaskir. I'm sorry. not that it's financial. The kibbutz of Achayis Mitzlaika, the socher was mekabel on himself that if the house burns down while I'm in it, I'll pay you for the damages. I'm going to protect the house. I'm not going to do anything dangerous. And I'm going to protect the house if there's ever, God forbid, a fire in the house. Va'acharka cholacha maskir. Then the maskir goes v'yiftiach beisa b'chevras achrayas, and he gets fire insurance on the house. So the owner of the house gets fire insurance. The socher has already accepted upon himself the responsibility. V'nisrafa habayis. And then the house taka burnt down. Mi matzia socher lomer kim deleslach pseida. Can the socher say, look, you didn't lose anything because you're going to get the money for the house from the insurance company? I was never mekabel achrayus based on that das, based on that knowledge that you're going to go get insurance. If you get insurance, what do I need the achrayus for? Go collect from the insurance company. Skip to the next paragraph. V'nirli ladun. So he says, I think we can suggest the socher does have to pay. Where do I see this, that the socher has to pay? Where do you ever find an insurance company? Chazal says, you don't find an insurance company, but I'll quote you a gemara that's a raya. And this is the power of the poskim, to be able to zone in on a sugya that they think is megala what to do in a totally different circumstance. The sugya maseches baba kama daf kufta zayin. B'mishnah, d'shotaf nor chamoro v'chamor chavero. Let's say a river comes and it's raging, and my donkey and my friend's donkey both get caught in the river, and are being schlepped away, and we're never going to see them again. They're going to be killed. But I have the ability to save one of them, either my donkey or my friend's donkey. I can save one of them. I can't save both of them. V'im amar lo ani atzil shalcha v'ata nosin li yeshali chayav liten lo. If I say to my friend, look, your donkey is a Mercedes, my donkey is a Hyundai, I'll save your donkey, you pay me the value of mine. Right? In this way, we'll at least save the most value, so then he does have to pay him. He's chayiv to pay him. Boy mine Rav Kana mirav yared, mirav, sorry, Rav Kana asked from Rav, yared lahatzav, there's no Rav Yared, I have a Talmud named Yared, his actual Hebrew name is Yared. But boy mine Rav Kana mirav, Rav Kana asked from Rav the following shayla, yared lahatzil va'ola shalom me'elav mahu. So what if I go in, I sell the Mercedes, I save the Mercedes donkey, and then my Hyundai donkey, Hyundais are unbelievable, pulls through. He comes out, he's like, yeah, nice bath, and he's okay now. So now I save the Mercedes donkey, I'll das that the other guy is going to pay me for the value of my Hyundai donkey. He took that upon himself. So now my donkey was okay. So does he still have to pay me? So says the Gemara, Amalei, Mishamaya Rachimu Allah. Baruch Hashem, they had Rachmanas on him from Shemayim. Alma the Had Kibla Chrayas, who Mishum the Machmas the Matzil Shal Chavero, Mafsid Chamor Shalatzmo, Ulusof Loifsid Shalatzmo. That which the guy who owned the Mercedes donkey was Mekabla Chrayas for my Hyundai donkey was because he thought that the Hyundai donkey would be lost. But now, as it turns out, it's not lost. Dalameilav. So lo matzi amar adaita do lo mechayavna nafshayi ba'achrayis chamorcha, de matzi amar lei mai ichbat la b'mad mishamayi rachimu alai. But the Gemara says the other way. The Gemara says he can't say to him, "Look, I was never mekabel achrayis al das that your cheaper donkey would be saved," because the guy could say back, "What do you care whether my cheaper donkey is saved? Did you want your Mercedes back or not? You were willing to take upon yourself a $10,000 expense to get back your $50,000 car." So, donkey, whatever. I got you back your $50,000 car. Pay me $10,000. What do you care? What does it matter to you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes to save my donkey? Why should that matter to you? Kol Shekin Kan. So says the Ar Sameach, so over here in the case of the fire, all the more so. Shal Yidei Mashenosin Tzchar Kitzvaso L'Chevras HaAchrayos Hirviach b'tashlumei beso, vade de bezelo niftar asocher mitashlumei achrayos shekibel alav. He says, look, the guy's not getting the insurance for free. He's paying for the insurance on the house. And that does not, just because I'm paying an insurance company and I happen to have this special deal that I'm extra protected, that doesn't exempt the socher from his own responsibilities. Meaning you can't say, adaita da, al das, that this would happen, I was never mekabel achrayos. Because the bottom line is, we tell the socher, yeah, and if I would have bought insurance, what difference would it make to you? if I went and got insurance, right? So it's you know, you're makabel to pay. So just because I went and I took an investment in insurance, that means you're patur from paying? It shouldn't patur you from paying.
What's the damage?
What?
That's not a damage claim anymore.
Ah, so good. So you're gonna have to. So what this? So what this touches on is we have to define nezikin. We have to define what nezikin means. Now, one could argue, what's the damage? The house burnt down. That's the damage. So yeah, they'll pay him back, and they'll pay him the value of the house, but that's money that he's got coming from somewhere else. What if, let's say, Marshall, the following case. What if the guy didn't go to an insurance company, he went to Vegas, and he took a bet, he put down $500,000 on his house burning down, right? And he just won the bet. So now the guy who's Makabla Achrayas on the house doesn't have to pay him, because he's getting paid anyway. The fact that the insurance company pays me, that's a totally separate deal. That's not, you were messing my house. They happen to be crazy people who pay people whose houses were burned down. Whatever it is, they're paying me. That's a totally separate. But of course, it's different. But it's just, you know, that's why these cases are so dark.
The truth is, there's always. I mean, that's, you can, in every single case, if someone causes damage and you get paid back a dollar figure for it, there is still some hezek, whether it's halachically acknowledged or not. I mean, so you don't have a house for a while. I don't know.
Right. I'm going to be uncomfortable. I have to find a new place to live.
There's some damage, whatever it is.
Right, but it's probably not halachic damage that you would have to pay for.
Right. That's, I don't know. But there is
it would be discomfort, whatever, but it's not probably wouldn't be something that you have to pay for. So is there any difference between the homeowner's insurance or the fire insurance on the house and car insurance? Can Mr. Lieberman say to Ethan, can Ethan say to Mr. Lieberman, what does it matter to you that I have insurance? You borrowed the car, you're mekabel achrayas on the car. The fact that I have insurance is my separate deal with the insurance company. Is there any chiluk between the two cases?
I think they're the
same. Sounds like the same, right? Let's take a look at source number two. Sefer Mishpatai Tishmoru, where I got all these cases from. It's a nice sefer. It's four volumes, one on Chosha Mishpat, one on Kashrus, and two on Aruch Chaim. On Hilcha Shabbos, two on Shabbos. So anyway, so he says, L'chara heimakum l'chalek. He says, maybe we could distinguish between them. This distinction that he's going to make is not the distinction between our case and the case of the house, but the distinction within the Or Sameach himself. The Or Sameach tried to compare the donkey case to the case of the house burning down on fire, and he says that's not necessarily so pashut that you could that the two are connected.
Donkey case, even if you say it wasn't, these are not halakhically acknowledged damages, but he didn't really get any damage because the donkey came out.
Ah, exactly, right. Meaning there's more room to say by the donkey case that nothing happened in the end to the donkey. Whereas by the house burned down. I happen to have taken a bet in Vegas that I'm going to get paid $500,000 if my house burns down. Or I took out a policy with the insurance company and I get paid $500,000 if my house burns down. That's a separate kinyan. That's a separate deal that I have worked out. But the donkey is different.
But it's worse because isn't the Gemara the one that says that the owner can say too bad?
Ah, you're right. So it's even worse. So it should be called the Chomer.
Right,
it should be called the Chomer. Correct. Right. So it should be called the Chomer. Then,
right.
If even in the donkey case you don't have to pay, of course, in this case, if even in the donkey case you do have to pay, then of course
sure.
In this case you do have to pay. So let's see what he says over here. He says, "Hayimakom lechalik the hasam gaveshat of nor chamor of v'al chamor me'elav harizocha b'me'a hefker." When the chamor was in the water, the chamor was hefker, because it's already gone. I gave up hope of ever getting it back. And it's so when I go and I acquire it again, it's hefker. Let's say the Mercedes owner would have taken the chamar, it would be his now. He doesn't have to let me go take the Hyundai chamar. Right? The Mercedes owner could have taken it himself. It's hefker. V'lchein lo nifka chiyuv atashlumin. And that's why you have to pay in that case. But over here, the house burning down, the house never became hefker in the case of the house burning down. And also in the car case. Right? Says, when the chamor was in the water, anyone could have taken it. So the chiv never went away. Where the chiv of the insurance company was never removed for a moment. The insurance company was covering the house the entire time. So it could be that there's no chiv in that case. Another distinction. Dil bechamor milicharchila kishemaskim imo chal hachiyuv. At the very moment when we were maskim, and he says, yes, I'll do it, I'll take care of it, I'll pay you for the value of your Hyundai, so the chiyuv was chal. Because I'm going and willing to risk and actively letting my donkey get lost and get destroyed and get drowned to save yours. But by the schirus, the chiyuv only begins when an insured house gets burnt down. So says the Mishpatei Tishmoru, whoever it is, the author of the Sefer is Rav Ezra Sarim, whoever it is, from Eretz Yisrael, that the Arsamech still stands his ground. He says, I see a chiluk between the case of the donkey and the case of the house. But then he says, let's take a step back. When you damage somebody, why do you have to pay? Why do you have to pay when you cause somebody loss? So everyone's going to say, well, it's obvious. Cause them a loss, it's your fault, so you have to pay. Is the chiyuv to pay because you did something wrong and you caused a loss? Or is the chiyuv to pay because he's missing something and you need to fill in what he's missing? Fundamental chakir in the zikin. Yeah. That he's missing something as a result of what you did and you have to be mashlim what he's missing. Or is it that no, you did something destructive and you therefore need to pay for your destruction, whether the person you did the destructive act towards felt any loss from it?
Neither case was
there. Like that one. So,
in neither case was there anything intentionally done wrong.
It doesn't have to be intentional.
Intentionally, it's not something that's done wrong.
Right. Well, damaging somebody else is something done wrong. Now I damaged someone else's car. That's wrong. I should have been more careful. Ademul the olam. Person has to always. We always assume the person is responsible for
what. He's for everything. He's for accidents, for this. For
right, but the question is that chiyuv. Does that chiyuv only come when he lost something, or even if the other guy didn't lose something, but I caused a loss in the world that related to him, but he ended up not losing anything. Meaning, in this case, his car was insured. I borrowed his insured car. I crashed it into the guardrail. His insurance company is paying him for it. So he doesn't lose anything. But I damaged something, and that damage can easily be monetarily assessed.
Well, I mean, legally, I mean, you're allowed to sue. I mean, when I was in an accident 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we sued the driver of that car, my mother and I. And I won my case. But because she did, my mother got a new car out of it, you know, but she also needed two surgeries.
But that's different. That's for different hazard.
No, but
you won the case not for the damage done to the car, but for the damage done to her. Mm. Right? It's a different case.
Right.
The damage done to the car, the insurance company took care of.
Right.
Somebody's insurance company. His or...
theirs.
Right. So that was... Right, but the damage done to... So, Rav Elchanan in Kovit Shurim, in Os Reishid... First, take a look at source number 3, where he spells out this chakira. He says, Yesh l'achkor b'zebedera chakira. Im chiyuvei mazik shechiva Torah l'shalim nizik. Is the chiyuv that a mazik has to pay, kavanas ha-Torah sha nizik lo yifsad ach reishuhuzak? Is the point that the nizik shouldn't end up in the red? That he shouldn't lose after being damaged? V'kol she'ni nizik nifsad shuv e'na mazik chayv l'shalim l'midi? As long as he doesn't lose at the end, the mazik doesn't have to pay him. Oh, the efshar sheikra chiyuv hu ala mazik l'shalim mashi hizik. No, the primary chiyuv is it's the mazik's responsibility to pay for damages. V'kol she hizik mamonu shalim nizik, chiyav to Torah l'shalim. And as long as he damaged the money of the nizik, Torah says he has to pay. V'lo ichbatum klalim anizik nifsad. It doesn't matter if the nizik lost out or not. O shulayu stamar v'yach mikol ha-hezik, etzim ha-hezik, l'chaveru m'chayv l'shalim. Fine. So that's the chakira. Now, the Rav Elchanan seems to take the approach that this is one of the examples of ratza mizeh gove, ratza mizeh gove. That Ethan's in the driver's seat in our case. Right? Ethan has two people that technically owe him money. The insurance company or Mr. Lieberman. So he could choose whichever way he wants to go. if he feels Mr. Lieberman, he wants to be a good neighbor and not charge him because he feels that he has the expense of making a wedding, he doesn't want to charge him with more, he could do that, right? And charge the insurance company. It's not unethical for him to charge the insurance company. The insurance company knows exactly what happened. It's also not unethical for him to say, I don't want to make the claim, I don't want my rates to go up, and therefore I can charge the neighbor. Now, let's go back, though, to the svara we were talking about before. What's the chilek? Is there a chilek between, and Larry certainly thought there was no chilek, between the case of the house burning down and the case, right, the case where I rent an insured house and I accept a chrayas for the fire, where I, the arsameach said I have to pay for that, even though it was insured, because what does it matter to me that it was insured? My deal was that I was accepting a chrayas. Is that any different than borrowing the car? So, is it, maybe when you borrow the car, I don't have to pay, because I was not mekabel achrayus. Why? Why would you assume that I'm not mekabel achrayus on the car, but in the house I am mekabel achrayus? What's the difference? So there seems to be a fundamental difference, and that is that it's illegal to have a car that's in use without insurance. You can't have an uninsured car.
But if we're talking about a collision here, we're not talking about we're not talking about liability. You can drive a car without collision.
Ah, okay, interesting.
See,
without any light, you can.
No collision whatsoever.
With no collision whatsoever, yeah.
Right. All you need is the only regulation in law is that you have to have liability.
Okay.
To be able to pay for somebody else.
So for that sake, let's change the case a little bit, right? So let's make it a liability case, right? They hit somebody's dog, and I don't know if the dog even counts as liability. They hit somebody, right? So it's a liability case. So, in that case, meaning if Ethan were to tell Mr. Lieberman, look, you can borrow my car, it's no problem, it's just not insured. So Mr. Lieberman would say, no, thank you, I'll borrow someone's car that's not illegal. You know, he wouldn't get involved in the first place. It's something that has to be insured. Everyone insures it, right? So that might be a chilek between the two cases, and that's what he points out in source number 5. He says, El debahad nira. Says it depends on the object that was damaged. The whole discussion in the poskim about damaging an insured item, that's by a regular object. That sometimes it's insured, sometimes it's not insured. But by car insurance, where it's illegal to drive a car that's uninsured, even though there are different categories of insurance, they have a general type of insurance, especially newer automobiles. Even if you're going to argue that your chiyuv as a mazik is a result of the damage that you did and not the loss that the other guy took, still over here it's different. Because over here you knew going in that there was insurance and that there has to be insurance. And as a result of that, that's what you were relying on, and therefore there's reason to say that Mr. Lieberman should be put from paying. He was relying on the fact that Ethan would go to his insurance company if a major damage happened. Right? That's what he goes on to say. So that is...
But he would specifically say he would take on the responsibility too.
If he would specifically... Well, it's... Right. If he would specifically say he's taking on the responsibility, it's different. But he didn't specifically say he's taking on the responsibility. It was assumed that the car is insured, and that's what happened with the responsibility.
Yeah, but with the house, he took on responsibility.
Right. With the house, he took on responsibility.
Okay.
Right. He took on the responsibility because there's no automatic assumption that there's insurance. Even if he did take on responsibility, what he's saying is even if he did take on responsibility, well, no, wouldn't help. Right. If he took on responsibility, it would be different. You'd have to say it's different. When he takes on responsibility. Now, what about the raises in the premiums that Ethan's going to have to if he goes to an insurance company? What about that? So he says in again this Mishpat Torah. He says in source number 7, at the end, Nira das skum hishtatvus atzmes vada yischayv hamazik l'shalim kivin shezel chelik me'anezek. He says, well, that's part of the damage, so that you have to pay. Meaning, not what's part of damage? There's two things. There's deductible. There's deductible, and then there's future insurance raises. He says the deductible is part of the damage. That's the part that the insurance isn't covering. That obviously you have to pay. But what about future insurance raises? He says, he says, Nir Sheinu al Grama. That's only Grama. You're Pater on the Grama. Sheinu Einu Nezek Yashir. And who knows, maybe next year you're not going to even be with this insurance company anymore. So how can I'm going to pay you for what you anticipate to be your raises in insurance, and then you switch to Allstate and save whatever, switch to Geico and save 15%, and then you're paying less than you are now. I don't know how it's going to play out. That's not a real nezek. It's not even quantifiable. Because who knows where you're going to end up being, and for how long? Till it's totally off their records. It's hard to know how it plays in exactly to how the damages should even be measured. So that's definitely grama. Okay, that's case number one. Let's take a look at case number two. Two or three? Which one do you want to read? Anyone read them yet? Which one is that?
Number two.
Okay. Aaron recently bought a house and is slowly discovering how much of a money pit a house can be. The fuse on the lights in his dining room keeps on blowing and needs to be changed. Aaron has no idea how to replace the fuse and possibly run more power through that particular fuse, so he calls an electrician to come and do it. The electrician says he'll be there on Friday between 1 and 4. Aaron has his doubts whether the electrician will show up when he says he will, and he really wants it fixed before Shabbos because he's expecting a house full of company for Shabbos lunch. Desperate for help and to have his wife not kill him for not taking care of this earlier in the week, he calls his friend Josh, who messes around with electrical work from time to time. Josh says he'll gladly give it a try. It comes over at 12:30 Friday afternoon. Aaron decides not to cancel the electrician because he isn't sure if Josh will be able to help. Sure enough, by 1 o'clock, Josh has fixed the problem free of charge. Just as Aaron is about to call the electrician to cancel, there's a knock at the door. Chashmal Brothers Electric is actually there on time. Aaron informs the electrician he's taken care of the problem and no longer needs the services of an electrician. The electrician responds with a $75 bill for the service call. Does Aaron have to pay the bill? No, so everyone would say, of course, that's industry standard. There's a service call fee. That's what you pay. The guy, you called him, he came, and that's it. Now, let's assume no industry standards. Let's just assume halacha. We live in a totally halachic society. There's no industry standard. It's just dumb. Let's assume in some industry where it's not standard that there's a service call. You call somebody and he says, you know, I went out of my way for you. $75 coming out of my way for you. And I say, wait a second. Your gas cost you how much? $7? You know, $4? How far did you come from?
My time.
Your time? Time isn't necessarily money. Time is time. Is that quantifiable?
I could have had another job. I could have done somebody else's job.
So do I have to check your schedule and see if you turned down any jobs during that time? Is it only if you turn down another job during that time that I have to pay you then for that loss?
Yeah.
And even if you did turn down another job during that time, is that nezek or is that grama?
Right.
Meaning when I take you away from a place where you could make money, it's what we would call menias harevach. You lost the opportunity to make money, right? But is that nezek?
It's that person's choice. It's the serviceman's choice for deciding to go to
now. Any electrician, when he goes to somebody's house, knows that there's a chance that the guy is going to be a deadbeat. He's not going to pay him, and he's going to have to chase after him and come, right? So he knows that there's always, you know, whenever he makes a choice, he'll maybe choose the house where he thinks is in the fancier neighborhood and where he's more likely to get paid, or maybe in the less fancy neighborhood he's more likely to get paid. Whatever, however he makes his cheshbonos, wherever he thinks he's more likely to get paid, he'll go there. He made that choice not to go to the other place, and he went to you. Right? As it turned out, you had the problem taken care of. I called my plumber once, and he said, "Before I come, listen to me carefully. Unscrew this, do that. You see something?" It took 2 seconds. Fixed it myself, he's like, good, now I don't have to charge you $150 for coming out there.
Right.
That was a very mental thing of him to do, because he would have come, taken 3 seconds, $150.
On the other hand, many, many years ago, my wife used to shut off the water for the washing machine, so if the hose burst, it wouldn't
go
on the floor, and she forgot to turn the water on, and the washing machine didn't work, so she called service, and of course, in those days, talk about going back maybe 50 years, we're talking it costs us $25 for the guy to turn on the water.
Right. Yeah, that's what it is. That's the service charge.
Is that you're hiring the serviceman to do something for you, and whether which is to come to your house to evaluate the problem and hopefully fix it. And
right.
Even if there's no problem, he still is. You still have hired him for that period, and I think that halakhically it's like.
So it's like if I wanted him to shine my shoes during that period for the $75, he'd be shining my shoes. I'm hiring his time. Is that the way he views it?
No. I don't think that's the way he views it. But
especially since he's going to charge you for the time anyway.
Excuse me?
He's going to charge you for the time.
Like, let's say the electrician shows up and I say, clean up my living room. You know, once you're here anyway.
You hire somebody to cut the produce of your farm. Wheat in your farm or corn in your farm, and by he comes with his machinery and everything else to do this, and a hurricane comes and there's no crops there to do. You owe him anything?
If you well, that's it's the same.
That's what I'm saying.
Same issue. I don't know. Let's see. I'm not sure.
I'm saying that you do.
Okay, take a look at Tosfos. There's a,
okay.
I hope it's here.
Let's see what Tosfos.
Yeah, Tosfos Masechta Bava Basra tries to define the difference between grama and garmi. Grama means, they both mean indirect damage. Oh, it's later already. They both mean indirect damage, grama and garmi. The question is, garmi, there's shitos that you have to pay, that don't deal with the garmi. Grama, you don't have to pay. How indirect is so indirect that you wouldn't have to pay, right? So Tosfos has, I'll say it outside, he basically has four shitos. When the damage is definitely going to happen as a result of you, what you did, that's not grama. That's at least garmi. In this case,
what?
It's definitely that he's going to lose money, because right? When the damage is immediate, that's another definition, possible definition, that there's an immediate loss. Now, all of this assumes a loss and assumes a damage. Again, this might not even be in that category, because it's not even a loss, it's not even damage, just his time. Now, the issue is, maybe you're not obligated to pay him, he did nezek. It has nothing to do with nezek. Direct and indirect. It's schirus polon. You hired somebody, you got to pay your worker. The truth is, the halacha, the way he works this whole thing out in the end, is that it's a din in menias revach, that you're costing him the opportunity to make money somewhere else, and what you hold in the sugya of menias revach is itself a long discussion that we don't really have time for now. Pasha pshat, though, certainly for Ashkenazic Jewry, is that we would certainly have to pay the service call, which was our inclination anyway. Okay.